Once a month, I get together with a group of women and we play Bunko. It's like a dice game. And mostly we drink wine and talk, and ever so often we throw and roll some dice. And this past Wednesday, I was with my friends playing Bunko, and the hostess had these beautiful ornaments that she had collected over the years, each one special for her family, and they were beautifully displayed. And that kind of led us to be talking about the kinds of things we collect over, either as Christmas decorations that we set out, or just, just things like bringing home salt and pepper shakers from, some place that you've traveled to. And I told my friends, with all truth, that what I collect is clutter. My breakfast counter is the altar upon which I set out my collection of clutter. And sometimes it is, it looks wonderful and in like little organized piles of things. And then other times, most of the time, it's just a mess. You know, it's all sorts of things that are left out, papers I think I need, or things I've purchased that I'm sure I'm going to use right away, but like in a few days. So I leave them there, right, until I can get to it. And when I'm lucky, that clutter stays, there on its altar. And when I'm not lucky, it's just kind of overtakes my house. And I know I'm not, unusual in that. A lot of us have lives of clutter, and many of us have homes that are full of things that are important to us, right? Things that we feel we need, or items that hold memories for us. And your home is probably like mine, where you are making space, you're making way in the clutter to, decorate your home with Christmas decorations or display special items or Christmas cards. And really, it's sort of a metaphor for what our life is like right now in this season between, mid-November till the end of the year, a life that's often busy but filled with extra clutter, and we're trying to squeeze our holiday happenings into this already busy life. John the Baptist was not a man of clutter. He was the exact opposite of that, as you might imagine a desert-dwelling, locust-eating man would be, right? He did not clutter his life with the minutiae that clutters mine, and he was not weighed down with the trappings of life the way that my home or many homes in the United States are. John was perhaps the second most interesting man in Israel at that time, right behind Jesus. And like Jesus, John had his own special birth story and special conception story as well, which we didn't hear today. Luke actually records the story of how John's parents, who were really, really old and childless, how the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, and the same angel that comes to Mary goes to Zechariah and tells him, you are going to have a son, you are going to have a child. And the uniqueness of this conception and the uniqueness of John's birth just marked his whole life. His whole life was a purpose for God. And when John was born, Zechariah proclaimed, and you, my child, will be called prophet of the Most High. And you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And so that's what John the Baptist understood his whole life to be, this teaching us this way of preparation, of making space in our life for where God can enter in. And part of the preparing our lives, part of uncluttering our lives to make space for God, John tells us that we need to get rid of things. Only he doesn't put it that way. He says, repent, right? But really what he means is clean, unclutter your life, make space for the things that are really God things, right? And really what he's talking about are not getting rid of the clutter that clutters my life, papers and knickknacks and ornaments. I mean, because those things don't really have any meaning or worth unless I give that to them, unless I begin to worship them and they take all of my time and energy away from worshiping God and doing God's purpose, right? And that's what happens in our life. We need to unclutter our lives from the things where we are giving time and energy to them when we should be giving that time and energy to doing God's work, right? And we do that kind of thing really all the time, not just with stacks of paper, but we do that by focusing on money or careers or having the right kind of clothes or the newest iPhone or tablet or whatever electronic gadget we think is so important for us to have to make our lives better, right? When we put those things as priority in our life, focusing our time and energy on acquiring them, then that's the kind of preparing work we need to do of moving those things aside so that we can create space for God in our life and doing God's actions in our life. And we don't do this intentionally, putting other things in our life in the spot where God should be. It kind of happens bit by bit, the same way that clutter, gathers on my breakfast counter. So I always go through and I clear it off periodically, right? And then suddenly things just kind of slowly pile back up. And that's what happens with our life of faith. We start with God at our center. We intend to have God at our center. And then, as we make our way through the minutes of our days, with lunches to make and groceries to buy and bills to pay and children or to care for or parents to care for or going to see all these, great Christmas pageants and shows that are happening and parties and all of this. We look at our life and we realize that God isn't there, that we've sort of shouldered God to the edges of our life when God should be at our center. And I think that this is why every Advent season we begin not with Jesus's story, but we begin with John's story, because John is a man who is very intent on helping us prepare space in our lives that Jesus can then enter into. Too often, I think we make our way through our days waiting for our dreams to become reality, right? A never-ending search for the perfect gift for the family member who's really hard to please. Struggling to pay for the hundreds or thousands in debt that will accumulate over these few weeks of trying to, make the perfect Christmas memories for our family. And while we might feel that preparing is exactly what we've been doing for the last few weeks, that all of December seems to be doing work of preparation, nothing on our list of the house to decorate and the lights to hang and cookies to make and memories to make and pictures to take and fighting for parking spaces and searching for those perfect gifts, none of that preparation has anything to do with God. Okay? So what are we actually preparing for on the morning of the 25th? What are we really preparing for, right? How many of us have that same frenetic pace where we're preparing space for God to enter into our life? December is often described as a month of expecting, right? Where we're looking forward to, we're expecting the birth of Jesus. Kids are waiting for, they're expecting Santa to visit them, right? But what is all this waiting really for? You know, yes, Jesus's birth, of course, for Christmas to come, but is that the end of our story? Is that the end of everything we're working toward, right? After Christmas, then what? Then what? Why are we so careful to count down to the 25th, to this baby's birth? In all honesty, do we expect anything to be different this Christmas? Do we expect this Christmas to change our life? You know, where is this frenetic pace of preparing a way for the Lord? You know, we are expecting something from God, this miracle of God dwelling in human flesh. But we're not the only ones expecting something to happen. You know, and that's really what the true heart of this season is, right? We not only expect something from God, but God expects something from us in return. You know, the gift of Jesus born into our life demands a response from us. You're not just a, you know, yeah, I believe, it's why I'm going to show up here on the 24th, right? The response of the God gift that we're given means that every breath, every interaction we have with our family and friends, with strangers, with, you know, the grumpy customer in the line at Walmart ahead of us, every response that we should have should be filled with God, should be filled with the joy and generosity that we carry within ourselves because of the gift of God's grace we've been given. So what then will you do? Not what do you need to accomplish over the next 10 days to get ready for Christmas, but what are you going to do to prepare a way for the Lord in your life? And not just for the next week and a half, but for all the weeks, right? What are you going to do to prepare a way for the Lord in your life?